like it gets a little longer each time. It's supposed to get, it's supposed to feel like you're getting shorter. All right. We do have Children's Church this morning for those who wish to send a child down with Allison. No, I'm not going. I was going to say good afternoon, Southside, just to see who was listening. Because that might have changed what I was going to say this morning. But I chose to not do that because I'm sure that everybody is here and listening and engaged. And if you're not, don't raise your hand. All right. So we're going to start out, even though we, I think, have been reading it every week. I think it continues to be worth reading again, and that's Galatians 5, 22 to 23. Since we are talking about fruit of the Spirit, so Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forgiveness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. In case anybody's keeping count, we're down to talking about kindness today, the fifth fruit of the Spirit mentioned in that passage. This week I was, well, as I do pretty much every week, I do TV watching with the grandkids since they're still at the house four mornings a week. And this week, one of the things that we saw was Jack and the Beanstalk. I'm sure we all know the story of Jack and the Beanstalk. Well, that got me to think about fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't grow from magic beans. It takes effort. It takes planting, watering, and deliberate care and nurturing for all nine fruit of the Spirit. In some ways, maybe kindness takes a little bit of extra for us to do. Has anyone ever seen a fruit tree with multiple kinds of fruit growing on it? For example, an apple tree that had apples and pears. No. Okay, I was about to say, if we had, please let me know about that. Or a vegetable, because we talked about gardening a few weeks ago. Anybody ever had a tomato plant growing tomatoes and peppers on it? No. So it's quite amazing to me that God is looking for not just two fruit of the Spirit in our lives, not just three, but nine fruit of the Spirit to be growing in our lives. So if it takes effort in nurturing to get one plant to grow, what must it require in order to get nine different fruit of the Spirit growing in our lives? We certainly need God's help and support to get there. Now, Kevin got me started thinking about this last week. Why does God want these fruit of the Spirit growing in our lives? And I started to think about that. And Kevin helped bring this into focus for me. People are watching us. I know my kids are watching me. They want to see what I'm doing. My kids' spouses are watching me. They want to see what I'm doing. They want to see if my life matches what I have to say. My grandkids are watching me. That's probably one of the biggest impressions I get to make. It's amazing to watch your grandchildren imitate the things that you do. Everyone is watching us. Why are they watching us? They want to see if our actions match what we have to say. What impression does it make if our actions don't match what we have to say? Does that leave people to wonder, well, are they really believe in what they're saying, or are they just another one of those church people who say one thing and then do another? They're watching, waiting for us to make a bad choice so that they can use that and say, well, I don't need that. So I started out thinking about what is kindness, and I tried to put some words around it. And the first thing I did was went to the dictionary. The dictionary for kindness says the quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate. Friendly, generous, and considerate. The dictionary has put those words in with kindness. Now, I think it's worth taking a look to see what the Greek has to say about this word translated kindness. And I know I'm going to, for those that know the Greek, I apologize. I know I'm probably going to butcher the translations, so you can just snicker over it. But is C-H-R-E-S-T-O-T-E-S, or Christotis, meaning, and now listen to these words, because I think this is important for us to understand kindness. The word carries the meaning of useful moral excellence of character or demeanor, gracious, gentle, goodness, and kindness. That useful moral excellence of character or demeanor covers things that we do and things that people see us do or don't see us do. So let's look some more at kindness. Kindness is selfless, compassionate, and merciful. Its greatest power is revealed in practice to our enemies and amongst the least of these. Love your neighbor. Show kindness to everyone. For a perfect definition or demonstration of biblical kindness, all we need to do is look as far as Jesus. Kindness is most often displayed in interpersonal relationships. Let me phrase that a little bit differently. Kindness is somebody who you would want as a friend. That's probably the most easily understood definition of kindness. Someone you would want to have as a friend. Now, we live in a rough and tumble world, sometimes even dog eat dog. Sometimes kindness can be difficult, but it still needs to be part of our lives. Now, I want to be sure that I'm not being misunderstood. Kindness is not weakness or wimpishness. By the way, I didn't actually find that as a word, but I decided to use it. It does not compromise on the truth. It does not give in to evil. Kindness is an attitude, a quality of character that is evident in the way you act and speak. So now let's look some more at kindness as a fruit of the Spirit. Now, I really did appreciate the bulletin this week. It comes out usually long about Saturday morning, and I get it and I read it through cover to cover. And this particular week, on the back cover, Cliff had a section that was notes and quotes. Did anybody read those? All three of them specifically dealt with kindness. I was particularly struck by that. And so what I want to do is touch these for just a second. The first one, forget injuries. Never forget kindness. Never look down on anybody unless you're helping them up. Wise sayings often fall on barren ground, but a kind word is never thrown away. Now, why do I want to make a point of those? Too often in our human thought process, what sticks with us is the negative side. What sticks with us is the injury. What sticks with us is not helping somebody. What often we remember is the opportunity that somebody else needed help and we didn't help them. We too often don't remember the positive side. Acts of kindness can be planned. They can be simple. They can even be random. Wearing a smile or helping an individual with a disability is an act of kindness. Kevin not wearing his Chiefs jersey last week when he decided to talk about Patrick Mahomes. That was an act of kindness. By the way, I did go to look at what the historical record was between the Chiefs and the Packers before I decided to bring that up. I'm sure Kevin knew exactly what it was. Bringing home flowers for your wife. Me not wearing a Bears jersey today. That was so that you'd have the opportunity to be kind to me. Holding a door open for another person are all acts of kindness. I wanted to point out an act of kindness that most of us probably didn't get to see that happened right here in our building a few weeks ago. Gene Jensen stopped to help a member of the Spanish congregation who was in the fellowship hall in distress. That is still an act of kindness. Now I want to highlight some of the kindness of God. So we're going to start by turning to Psalm, the 103rd Psalm, and verses 8 through 12. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the ground, so great is his love for those that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Verse 8 tells us the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Someone showing kindness in being compassionate and gracious in slow to anger is a demonstration of kindness. Now, I'm making this point for me as much as I am, and probably more than I am for anybody else. I'm not always a patient person. God continues to love us and show us kindness even when we do not deserve his kindness. So now what I want to do is come forward into the New Testament and go into Titus 3, 3 through 8, starting with verse 3. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of our God and Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. Verse 4 says, but when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. God, out of his kindness and mercy. So God has been showing us kindness and mercy. We should do the same. Verse 8 encourages us to be careful and devote themselves to doing what is good. We can easily translate that good to kindness. Now, why? Remember what Kevin said last week and what I'm emphasizing today. We are being watched. Now, kindness is something that we can, or that we really generally are going to show to others. When we show kindness to others, Our demonstration of kindness results in a harvest of kindness to the people that we show it to. If more kindness were shown, more people might be attracted to the love of God. Proverbs has something to say about kindness. Now, while most of these references in Proverbs deal with needy or the poor, I don't think it's a long stretch to get poor in spirit in there, or those needing encouragement. So let's start out, and I'm going to go through these pretty quick, but Proverbs 11 is where I'm going to start. 11 and verse 16. A kind-hearted woman gains honor, but ruthless men only gain wealth. You hear any connection with that proverb to something that I talked about a little while ago? Proverbs 12 and 25. Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. Continuing on into Proverbs 14 and 21. It is a sin to despise one's neighbor, but blessed is the one who is kind to the needy. And then in 14:31, whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God. And then in Proverbs 19 and 17, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. So even though this talked about, in most cases, those who were poor, those who were needy, as I said, I don't think it's a long stretch to take that to poor in spirit or those who need encouragement. So now let's go on to Matthew 10 and 42:42, which was our reading this morning, will always help if I go to the right spot. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. So, what is it to welcome somebody? It can start out being very simple. We've got visitors in the room with us this morning. How many people have greeted them and said hello to them? By the way, that was a challenge, so visitors, hopefully you should be ready for that when we're done. It can be just a little bit more. It can be inviting people to our homes for a meal. Now, for some of us, well, I'm particularly speaking about myself, that can be a little bit of a struggle because I live a fair distance from here. All of a sudden, for me to invite the Morrells to my house, all of a sudden puts them in the position of taking over an hour drive in order to come to my house. So I struggle with, am I putting somebody out just to show kindness and hospitality? How does being welcomed make you feel? Have you visited another congregation and been welcomed and had everybody coming to see you? I know it gives me a warm and fuzzy feeling. How does it feel to be invited to somebody's home for a meal? I look forward to it. But then again, you can look at me and guess that. Verse 42 makes it clear even simple acts of kindness can have a big reward. Offering a cup of cold water is certainly a simple act of kindness. But there's a big reward attached to it. Now let's go on to Mark 9 for our next reference. And we are going to look at Mark 9, 33 through 37. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child whom he had placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." Now, do you think Jesus really didn't know what they were arguing about on the road? I bet he did. I bet he was testing them to find out who was going to own up to the discussion or to the argument. But they didn't, so Jesus had to create an example. Sometimes we can think that we're above being kind. Jesus makes it clear, no one is above being kind. The first will be last, and the last will be first. Verses 36 and 37 talk about little children. Little children need help, whether that's from parents or anybody else. By extension, this might include those that can't fend for themselves or just need simple help. Kindness is a necessity in our world today. Why are we sometimes slow to show kindness? Could it be expense? Could it be time-consuming? Could it affect our lifestyle? Well, in my case, I'll admit to being forgetful. It's not always as it should be in the top of my mind. If it's not written down, I forget things. Shirley put diapers and wipes on my grocery list so I would get them so that I'd remember to bring them to the fellowship hall. If that had been left for me to do by myself, anybody want to guess what probably would have happened? So sometimes a little bit of help is okay. So what I want to do now is let's go to Galatians 6, 7 to 10, because I think Paul has something to say to us about kindness in Galatians 6. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. If a man reaps what he sows, let me try that again. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will also reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So then, is kindness a necessity? Well, as I read verse 8, it sure seems like it. If we do good things, then we're likely to reap a harvest of good things. If we don't, it stands to reason that the opposite is going to be true. Verse 9 encourages us to not become weary of doing good. I understand here doing good is really doing kindness. And to whom should we be doing kindness? Well, it talks about two groups of people, and it pretty much covers everybody because it says to everyone, and then it says especially to the family of believers. Kindness has long-term benefits. I'm not going to go through and read this whole passage, but I'm going to give you suggested reading of reading the book of Ruth. This is the story of Naomi, who loses her husband and both of her sons, and then returns to Judah with the wife of one of her deceased sons. And the story goes on to talk about the kindness that gets shown to Naomi and Ruth. But this isn't just kindness that has an effect for Naomi and Ruth. It goes on to affect King David, and then by implication, Jesus. So, showing kindness has long-term benefits. Kindness has a way of affecting lives and people we can never see and will never understand. And as I almost always have to do, I'm editing that particular page out. Kindness differentiates Christians. Paul says in Colossians 3:12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Does that list look like anything that we talked about early on? Kindness is a lifestyle. It's an attitude that we have to possess. Kindness is a daily practice. It's what we do and what we show. Kindness is a choice. What choices do we make? I have a daughter who is fond of using the phrase, make good life choices. Here's a life choice, folks. As Christians, we are to grow in the fruit of the Spirit, and growth takes time. A seed does not transform into a tree overnight, but with careful watering, tending, and patience, a seed grows day by day into a strong and towering tree. It's the same with kindness. We must be faithful every day to bear the good fruit of kindness. Being kind should be our default mode. A habit of goodwill, a heart of continual service every day of the year. If you're struggling growing or nurturing the fruit of the Spirit and want help with your Christian walk, if you know you're being watched and struggle and want help with your Christian walk, if you need help with any other area of your life, we are ready to talk and pray with you, and you can use this time to make your needs known as we stand and sing.